Mr. Gorgeous, Paco Fish, and the evil hate monkey. Welcome to The Signal.
Thank you.
Hello. Thank you.
So why don't we define boylesque? How do you define boylesque?
Well, I'll start. This is the evil hate monkey here. I define boylesque, it's very similar to girlesque or burlesque, basically. Basically, it's I see it as still just striptease, and it just happens to be with someone who is male or identifies as male, going through the same motions, basically, of the tease, taking off their clothes, usually having some sort of punchline. Chances are pretty good that in a boylesque act, the punchline usually isn't breast, it's probably the penis.
Well, there's a, yeah, that yeah. Seems logical.
Yeah, and to really strip it down, I would say that's the essence of boylesque. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it follows the same program as burlesque. The only difference, the only reason to specify it as boylesque is because of who's performing it, and if it's being performed by a man or, as you said, someone who identifies as male, that makes it boylesque. But burlesque, as we know it, is a parody, you know, or a comedic sort of staged performance, though now it's associated with striptease. So,
and would you agree with that, Mr. Gorgeous?
Yeah, I like the way that sounds.
Yeah.
Good work. Very good.
Well, and you mentioned a lot. You mentioned the punchline and playfulness and tease and gender, all those things coming together in one big happy place on stage. I think one of the things that I found in my research, this was one of the more fun things to research uh-huh. for a long time for the show, but I watched some performances, and it does seem like, to say anything goes sounds silly, but it really does seem there's such a wide variety, and there's gay-identifying performers and straight-identifying performers and people who I couldn't tell you if they were born male or female, and it didn't matter at all. Is in the end, the whole point was the performance and the enjoyment of human sexuality, whatever it may be.
To me, that's still like the larger umbrella of burlesque. I mean, that's the essence of it. And so I think as boylesque performers, the term has been coined, but I think for the most part, we're just trying to fit into the overall umbrella of burlesque and just perform and be entertaining. I think that's what I want to do. So I don't really care if I'm a burlesque, boylesque, queerlesque, whateverlesque performer you want to call me, as long as you're being entertained. That's my overall mission.
Now, how did you get involved? Let's go around the table. Mr. Gorgeous, how did you get involved in burlesque?
I started off training as a circus performer. So most of that went back to starting at a circus school and training. And I think all along there has, from a very young age, been that side of me that's wanted to entertain, whether
strip?
That be with clothes on or off. So I kind of graduated from one to the other. I still do the circus aspect, but also the boylesque is just so much more. It has so much more to offer as far as you can play with so much more. There's so much you can talk about through boylesque. So, you know, why not?
Mm-hmm. And monkey?
Well, I got involved in the burlesque community through Trixie Little, my duo partner. And she basically came to me and was like, hey, we're going to do this thing. You're going to be a monkey and I'm going to be Trixie Little and we're going to do burlesque. And I was like, okay, cool. What's burlesque? So that's how I got into it, really just getting pulled by my monkey ears. And we started doing it and we got really into it. We were doing swing dancing and we really liked the acrobatics of swing dancing. And then we didn't really like swing dancing. So we were like, well, let's just take the acrobatics. And we started taking circus training. And then we just started blending all of that in and watching shows in New York and then trying to produce shows here in Baltimore. And it just kept growing from there. And now we do solo numbers and duo numbers and produce shows and travel. And it's just been a really exciting ride so far.
Yeah, I have to add that I was also kind of pulled into the burlesque scene, certainly by Trixie and the evil hate monkey. I had never really thought of it before. You know, it wasn't something that I had like, oh, well, I'd like to give that a shot. It was more of, you know, they actually asked me to tech a show, I believe,
yeah.
And then said, oh, and then we'll have you do something at the end. And I thought, oh, and you know, ever since that the pants came off, I've wanted to take them off ever since.
Yes.
Well, what about you, Puck?
I actually had a similar experience to Mr. Gorgeous. I came from a street performing background, sort of, there was a rock band that I was a big fan of, and they invited their fans to perform at their shows, the Dresden Dolls. And so I didn't have any performance experience, but I wanted to be a part of this community. So I learned to walk on stilts and then was just sort of like wandering around and entertaining without any sort of set act. And I saw an ad for a class that Trixie Little and the Evil Hate Monkey were teaching that was an act development class. And I knew that they were burlesque performers, but I also knew that they were acrobats and circus performers. So when I signed up for the class, I had no intention of becoming a burlesque performer. I just wanted to learn how to develop an act for a stage. And it developed into a burlesque act. Yes. It was actually a striptease on stilts, which after performing and feeling that sort of rush, and it became an addiction.
So I would imagine that when you're performing, you might be on a bill with all different kinds of performers, male, female, circus act kind of things. Does that keep it kind of interesting and fun?
Yeah, I definitely prefer more variety in the shows. So it's not just, striptease, MC, striptease, MC throughout the night, because, you know, it doesn't pack that impact. You know, I like the audience to go on a ride, to have a journey. And so I think it helps to have male performers and female performers and trans performers, but also variety acts, musicians and jugglers and sword swallowers and hoopers and whatever we can get, anything that's entertaining.
Well, I think it's funny because I think people have more of these ridiculous images of male strippers in their minds. Chippendales, mm-hmm. dancers, or just a sleazy bar, you know, and a lot of grinding and ridiculousness.
The golden rides.
Right. So, but, you know, you mentioned circus performing and stilts and acts and coming up with routines. And Monkey, I know I've seen you dance on point, you know, for mm-hmm. an entire, which is something that these acts are extremely physically demanding, as well as, like, I mean, they've got to be funny. Mm-hmm. They've got to be good. They have to be well executed. And you have to look good. What do you do to prepare or stay in shape or just keep your body and your act fresh?
First, it's coming up with the idea of the act. So, like, let's take the point act. That, to me, is something that's like a classic burlesque act. You see women doing a classic point number. And so I looked at that and I was like, I want to do a take on a classic number, whether it's going to be a fan dance or a boa dance. And I was like, well, I could attempt a point number. So then I start working on point. And I felt like if I'm going to do a point number, I have to be skilled at it first before I mock it. And that's one of my rules. Like, if I'm going to do a burlesque performance that is paying homage to the actual burlesque women, I need to make sure that I'm honoring it first. So I spent a lot of time going to classes, learning point. And then once I felt comfortable in doing point, then I could feel like I could mock it. That's the balance that I go through when I'm creating a number. And just by doing that, that keeps me in physical shape.
Yeah, I mean, for me, my day job, I'm a flying trapeze coach. So I teach flying trapeze, and I'm a catcher on the flying trapeze. And I also teach other circus skills, rope, fabric, ground acrobatics. So for me, during the day, I have the chance to be active and be physical. So that's something I'm very thankful for. But then, you know, all throughout that time, I'm thinking and dreaming of the other things I'd like to do when I'm on stage. So the day job helps out quite a bit as far as staying in shape.
And now you have sort of a different day job.
Yeah, I analyze chromosomes for mostly people with leukemia. I look in a microscope all day doing cytogenetics. And that does not keep me in shape.
No, I would imagine.
I sit down all day long. But staying in shape isn't as important to me as a performer as it is to some others, because for where I'm coming from as a performer, I start with the concept of the act, and I'm trying to tell a story. So I try to change my shape as much as possible to fit the character that I'm playing, you know. So if my character isn't, you know, a beautiful, chiseled man, then that doesn't matter, because if I'm playing like a downtrodden sort of tramp character, then it's okay to sort of be physically downtrodden. And so that's where I'm coming from for when I develop an act. I try to get as much into the character as possible.
So the audience really plays a role in the whole performance. Do you get a lot of energy from an audience? And like, you perform on really big stages and sometimes in really intimate clubs and all kinds of different places. How does the interaction with the audience, how does that become a part of the act?
the audience is essential, key. Otherwise, we're in our bedrooms performing for ourselves, which is kind of boring.
Not for me.
It can vary, especially depending on where you are. Like, Trixie and I, recently we've been traveling a lot. We were just in Sweden, and their audience has been trained slightly different, or they're a few years behind the American audience. And so the reaction can be really different, where they're really quiet and watching the whole time. And we're in the middle of the act performing, and we're like, this is just bombing right now. Like, what is going on? And then you finish, and they go crazy. And then you're like, oh, they're just really into it and just really, really watching. So it's tough sometimes to read different audiences, because there are different audiences out there depending on the region and what they've been trained to do. I mean, I know here in Baltimore, I feel like Trixie and I feel like we've trained the audiences to be very bombastic and have a really good time and feel free to shout and holler and boo me when I come on stage. Any of those things are completely okay.
No, but it's true that, you know, an audience does have to learn what to expect.
Yeah.
And the whole point of burlesque is a little bit of the unexpected. So mm-hmm. going into it, they have to be ready for anything. But, you know, I mean, you must play to predominantly gay crowd or predominantly straight crowd or very mixed crowd or an overwhelmingly female crowd or male mm-hmm. crowd. I mean, does that happen? How does that affect your whole act?
Well, I think that's the beauty of burlesque, is the fact that it actually brings a lot of different people together to a burlesque show. So, like, for us performing at the Creative Alliance, I mean, that brings like an older crowd. And then at the Auto Bar, that's like a younger, more energetic, hip crowd. But they all really get into it. And
I have to say, that was almost like one of my biggest concerns, to be honest, was, you know, my audience and who that's going to be and how they're going to, you know, respond to what I'm about to do. You know, working in at the Hustler Club, for example, I thought, wow, you know, the customers there are going to go to see gorgeous women on a pole. And instead, here comes a 6'6" man in high heels down the pole, you know, and what was going to happen. So
what did happen?
They loved it. And I thought to myself, you know, what we're doing is not offensive. It's a joyful, fun, exciting thing. And, you know, the last thing that anyone really intends to do, maybe except for the evil hate monkey, is offend someone. It's really about celebration of a good time.
Yeah. And sexuality and the human body. I mean, I think that one of the things that I find most appealing is, even if you are in really great shape, which I must say, present company in very nice shape. Thanks, gentlemen. You know,
thank you.
But that's not necessarily what's being celebrated. What's being as opposed to the Chippendale dancer and the, you know, the iconic, ridiculous body that represents. That it's more about the whole package, the whole. And people have worked with women over the years. That's a big feminist empowerment movement, to do burlesque and to feel sexy and to feel comfortable with your body. But also just bringing the boys in too. It just opens it up to everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody can feel good about themselves.
And I think it's important for men to feel sexy too. Like, just,
yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I think there's for a long time, there's been the sort of concept that while a naked woman is sexy, a naked man is funny.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it happens a lot in comedies. You throw in a naked guy and everybody laughs. But I think one of my favorite things about burlesque is that it pulls that in, and that funny can be sexy as well, and that sexy can be funny as well. It's all about how the performance shifts the focus of the audience.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, I thank you all for taking the time. You look fantastic. I wish that radio, it's hard to share that with everyone, but thanks for coming, and good luck with all your future performances.
Thank you.
Thank you
thank
very
you.
Much.